You ready?
This is the Mike Salk Show
on Seattle Sports Station.
Are you ready?
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Are you ready for a good time?
Sure was a good time in New York over the weekend. A couple big developments for the Mariners. It was a busy, busy 3 days in the Big Apple for them. And nice to see them come away with a series win. They needed it, right? I mean, we can say they didn't need it, that it's early, it's May, this and that. They could have come. No, they needed it. And to go in and kind of punch a bully in the mouth, the Mets had been one of the best teams in the league so far, and they hung with them every game. I mean, there's no way you could watch that series and come away thinking the Mets were a significantly better team. The Mariners stuck right with them, right? All three games were close, right? Yep. All of them were essentially one-run games or right thereabouts. And to come away winning two out of three was great. And to have an ex-Met and Paul Sewald be one of the heroes, right? And I guess, what, Mets fans were mad about it? Justin, you were trying to show me the Reddit thing, but I get so muddled up in reading Reddit.
you were
nothing,
annoyed by that.
Nothing makes me show.
I wish we had a recording of you going through Reddit this morning.
I don't get it.
I don't understand this. This is why I don't go here.
It is literally I try to go to Reddit because I understand that, like, Justin, you are there a lot, and there's some important,
and there's 2 million people on the baseball subreddit. Like, there's a lot of conversation to be had on all of these.
I don't understand what they're doing there. Like, I
get
tell
a
you,
job, cut your hair.
No, like, I'm not against, like, I understand how Twitter works. Like, I understand the idea of, like, being a part of a community. I just don't understand their community. Like, I went and I'm like, what was the thing you sent me? It was like a bunch of Mets fans posting about how mad they are about Paul Sewald.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so I'm reading through it, and it's like none of their comments even make sense.
Most of them are just wordplay on the whole "see us rise" thing.
Yeah, it was "see us walled."
See us walled.
So the beginning part makes sense. Cry about it, Paul says. Paul owns the entire New York Mets poverty franchise. Sewald. Okay, like, I get jokes like that, but I don't get good scrubs. What does G-U-D, what does that even mean, GUD?
The prevailing narrative that I saw after spending more than enough time in the Mets and both Mariners and MLB subreddits were just that they didn't think he did enough or was enough to be trolling them the way that he was. And because there's a lot of the conversation was just around the, like, sorry, man, we don't even know who you are, which is like the we're too cool for you approach, which is sort of the every New York fan and every arena, right?
Well, the other thing I keep seeing is see them mauled. What is mauled? That's not a word.
Mauled?
Mauled. Is that a word?
Like to be mauled?
No, M-A-L-D.
Oh, well, it's because
it's a play on his last name.
But what is... And
so they're
what?
Trying to see, do actually mauled, like mauled by a bear, but use his last name because of the see us walled thing. Oh my goodness.
Don't brigade other teams' subs. What?
Subs, subreddits.
Dude, I gotta tell you. of all the things in my life that have confused me, Reddit might be like a number one. And I guess I've never made it to, like, you know, 4chan or God forbid something along those lines.
Yeah, you don't want to. I don't tiptoe down that road any further.
I think I'm probably just fine. Uh-huh. But whenever you send over, I'm glad that you enjoy it and that you find whatever you need
you
out of it.
You have to sift through a lot of.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah,
I don't want to sift through anything.
Okay, I'm not even a big Reddit user, but you maybe should be more embarrassed about what just happened than the grocery store thing.
Why? All right, the grocery store thing was super embarrassing.
If that made you feel old.
I know.
Right.
I know. Yeah, Reddit makes me feel older than Reddit. Honestly, I would say that's true. The idea, like the very concept of Reddit, makes me feel old.
But you get how it works when the comments.
No, I don't.
Upvoted it. You don't know upvotes or downvotes.
I don't
or
understand
that.
Anything of how it works. Does it come with a freaking instruction manual?
We are gonna have to. Yeah, we'll start at the beginning someday.
I don't want to.
The time or the crayons right now to walk you through it at this moment.
The crayons.
We can eventually.
I don't think I'm alone on this. By the way, I'd be willing to bet that a significant chunk of our listenership does not understand Reddit at all.
The 415 says, "I'm turning 50 this year, and Salk makes me feel young."
Oh, jeez. Right. Well, fine. Could Salk get a 19-year-old grocery clerk to help him with Reddit? All right. You know, I had surgery on Friday. Was it a small surgery? Yes. But I had a little surgery on Friday. And
a little frazzled.
I'm not allowed to lift anything heavy, so I wasn't able to, you know, lift the groceries up. That happens. Right?
Yeah, I think it's good that you rely on the youth in these instances.
We're going to call Dr. Rick and have a session.
Well, Reddit, if he's looking to confuse people, then Reddit is absolutely the... I can't believe there aren't five commercials for Progressive with Dr. Rick just about Reddit. For some reason, it's the bane of my existence.
I will say, as a former, I called myself a super box boy when I worked at the grocery store.
Right.
Did you tip your person that carried groceries out for you?
I did not. Was I supposed to?
Not supposed to, but it's definitely nice.
Here's the thing about tipping in this day and age, Justin. I thought a little bit about this because I worked as a valet for a long time and obviously survived on tips. This is a while ago. It was like 15 years ago. The problem I have in moments that come up out of nowhere where I might be called upon to tip like that is I never have any cash
right
anymore.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Like, I would have been happy to tip the woman who was very nice and helped me out to my car. I didn't have any cash. It didn't dawn on me that I would need it and go into the grocery store. I use credit cards for everything.
Totally. And I get that.
I guess I could have Venmoed her in the moment. Like, hey, can I have your Venmo? I'll send you a few bucks. Like, I guess I could have done that. It felt like maybe, you know, more trouble than it was worth in the pouring rain for $5.
But that's a little extra.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I never have the money on me to tip anybody. And who does? You know what else that gets me is, like, you go park at, like, Master Park or one of those places at the airport, and then you got to take, you know, the shuttle or something over.
I always have cash for that.
If I don't plan ahead, I always feel bad because the guys are, like, lugging these huge bags up there, and I'm like, I don't have any cash on me. Like, sometimes you just don't have any cash on
you. You know who does have cash all the time? What we've learned is Brock.
Why?
Remember he was, that was with Lefko. He was talking about how he loves to pay with cash and then watch kids' heads explode and then try to count change.
Oh, that's true. But that's very, we talk about being an old man. Like, Brock's in here right. complaining about all that. He is sort of like that. But Brock also, like, doesn't really believe in the way money works. Like, he likes to pay cash for, like, houses. Like, Brock is, like, against mortgage.
That's nice.
Like, Brock's, like, all about, like, using cash for everything. So,
well, anyway. That was part of a whole conversation about how he still uses checks, too.
Yeah, yeah. See? Checkbook. Exactly. I was asked to use a check recently. It took me an hour and a half to find them. So I'm not that old. In some ways, I'm modern. I'm using all the, you know, modern conveniences.
But the bridge to Reddit is a bridge too far.
Yes, that is literally a bridge too far. Okay. And so, anyway. I had a whole point here about Jared Kelnick and him being sent down, but I'm not sure we really have the time to dig too deeply into that.
Cliff notes it for us.
Cliff notes it. I was right. That was the day they needed to send Jared Kelnick down, and it was. They were right. It's going to be for the best for him, don't you think? I mean, allowing him to continue to flounder like that and allowing it to happen in New York where he was a Mets prospect—
yep.
It would have been a disaster, and thank God they pulled the trigger before then.
When you said during Need to Know, maybe it was earlier, that you don't expect to see him up before the All-Star break, that was a surprise to me.
Why?
I don't know. I think of everything in AAA as like a 2 to 3 week experience.
I don't think so. I think he needs to go down there and get some of that work in. Like, really get the work in.
So late July is when you think it's going to happen.
I don't see any reason why it would happen before then. I mean,
Souza is just, I mean, what if Souza hits 50?
Well, if he does, Kyle Lewis is going to be back here in another week or two, and now you're going to have enough guys in your outfield. I mean,
true.
I think there's enough ways you can piece it together where you don't need to bring him back. And by the way, what happens at the major league level should not dictate when they bring him back. It should be entirely what happens with him. What the quality of his at-bats look like, where his confidence at, where he's at emotionally. I mean, they need to be meeting with him in order to figure it out, not looking at the hole
they
need to fill
now with
in
him
right
gone.
Field. No, there's plenty of ways to fill a hole in right field for a month. There's only so many ways to grow one of your top prospects and make sure that he turns into the kind of player you want him to be. So, no, I would hope that the major league success has nothing to do with when Jared Kelnick comes back, and I'd like to see him down there for a month or two, right? And if it's May 15th now, mid-July is 2 months. So, yeah, right around the All-Star break seems like a pretty good time to think about bringing Jared Kelnick back. It's a little longer than he went down for last year, but I would say, you know, that gives him some time so that he's ready to go in August, and then by September, you really hope that he is the player that you hope he can be. So,
yeah,
good job by Jared Napoto. All right, coming up, we'll tell you everything you need to know, including why I am reconsidering and liking even more two of the Seahawks draft picks from this year. It's next. It's Mike Sulk Show on Seattle Sports on 710 and SeattleSports.com, but not on Reddit.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Mike Sulk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, to say that the Mariners needed a win or two in New York, I don't think that was any sort of an exaggeration. I know it was only May, but they needed to win a series badly. They'd lost five straight series. They had an incredibly challenging road trip. New York, Toronto, Boston. You got to start that off with a little bit of a bang, and they did so. They have to, you know, going into Queens, lots of heroes, but none bigger than Julio Rodriguez.
Sharif stares home. He sets, now fires. Swing it. This is a rocket deep out to left field. Canna's watching, and this ball is gone. Torched by Julio, number two this year for the Mariners rookie. It was obliterated out to left field. Julio Rodriguez has tied this game in the sixth inning with his second career home run. We're even at five.
I'm surprised Canna even had time to watch it. That thing was over his head in a split second, just gone, launched out of there. Julio went 4-for-4 with a home run, couple runs driven in. This after being held hitless in the first two games of the series, just continuing to show a very mature approach at the plate, how to produce runs. The home run was sweet, but I really liked his other RBI in a single to right field, found a way to go the other way, went with the pitch to drive in a run. Very, very mature approach. This kid's pretty awesome. Let's throw some credit elsewhere as well, though. Ty France, 5-for-13 on the weekend. He was great. Jesse Winker, 5-for-12. Andy was talking trash to Mets fans, which was fun. Marco Gonzalez matching zeros with Max Scherzer. Paul Sewald going back to New York after they'd given up on him there. He was tremendous. And then maybe my favorite story, left for dead, essentially, Diego Castillo throwing 9 straight sliders to record the two biggest outs of the series.
And the right-hander's 3-2 pitch on the way. Swing and a miss, strike three. He went after it. He did. The check down to the first base umpire on the appeal, strike three, and the Mariners hang on and they win it. Diego Castillo comes on. He strikes out Pete Alonso for the final out of the ball game. He struck out Starling Marte for the second out of the inning in the bottom of the ninth, and the Mariners win it 8-7, and they hand the New York Mets their very first series loss.
By the way, nice job by Hunter Wennelstadt there. He was the home plate umpire, not making the call himself, not wanting to be the guy to ring him up to end the game, but given the appeal down to first base where they got the call right, he had definitely gone around, and great job by Diego Castillo. Now, Friday afternoon, let's rewind the clock. It was decision day. I've been talking about it for a while. After the off day, that's when you make a decision on a guy like Jared Kelnick, and they did opt to send him down to AAA.
You know, we met with Jared this morning, and I thought he handled it very well. Certainly wasn't happy with the news, but he understands where he's at. He knows how important it is for him to be able to contribute to our team. And right now, he's just not contributing the way that he knows he can.
All right. Fortunately, I didn't catch it the first time. He says they met with him yesterday, right? Which means hopefully he didn't have to take the trip all the way to New York and then have it take it all the way back to Tacoma. Because that would be a huge pain. It was the right thing to do. One of 8 moves the team made. They called up Steven Souza, Mike Ford as expected, DFA'd Johan Ramirez because they needed some room on the roster. But again, I think unequivocally the right thing for them to do. The best thing for them and the best thing for Kelnick and his personal development. The kid needs to hit. He needs to be able to trust his hands, trust himself again. And honestly, I think this should help. There's no need to rush him back either. As I said, I'd be surprised if we saw him too much earlier than the All-Star break in mid-July.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, maybe not timely, but I was thinking about it over the weekend. The more I do, the more I like what the Seahawks did in the second round specifically of this draft. They took 2 risks, right? They swung for the fences on 2 guys. They might not work out, boom or bust. But that was the right thing to do in the second round, right? In case of Boye Mafe, the fear is that this is an Aaron Curry situation, that while he's physically gifted, that he doesn't necessarily have all of the same mental instincts on the field, the football instincts. And I think that's what really hurt Aaron Curry in his time. And in the case of Ken Walker, I get it. People are afraid to take a running back high, whether it's the Rashad Penny fear or whatever. But the second round, these guys aren't first-round picks. Aaron Curry was a top-5 pick. Rashad Penny was a first-round pick. You're talking about second-rounders, and that's what you're supposed to do in the second round, is some boom-or-bust kind of choices, right? Players where if it hits, you will be a genius, and if it misses, okay, at least it was in the second round and not the first. So kind of like what they did specifically in that round. And as for Coach Carroll, he may have a new moniker. It sounds like he is now Dr. Carroll, receiving an honorary doctorate of business administration from his alma mater, the University of the Pacific, over the weekend.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
The throw in front. Feeds a pass to Leno. Stopped by Ottinger. Took it up high. The throw. Scores!
That's how it ended last night in Calgary. Crowd going nuts inside the Saddle Dome, and it looked just as nuts outside as fans had just gathered. What an amazing scene. They win a Game 7 in overtime. Johnny Hockey, Johnny Gaudreau, as you just heard, netting the game winner. It was one of two. Same deal. It's the Rangers beat the Penguins. A little bit of controversy in that one, but also an overtime Game 7 win. NBA, Mavericks crush Phoenix, not close. They win Game 7. They advance to take on the Warriors, and the Celtics do the same with Milwaukee. They will now advance and take on the Heat. Very exciting end to the AT&T Byron Nelson. KH Lee holding off Jordan Spieth to win his second straight at that event. But personally, really, really good time for Jordan. PGA Championship starts Thursday in Oklahoma, and he is playing some of the best golf of his career. So there you go. It's everything you need to know. We do that quarter past every hour. How about the day they had in Dallas yesterday? Two game sevens. The Byron Nelson is held in Dallas, and both Scottie Scheffler and Jordan Spieth, two Dallas kids, were in it right till the end. Well, Jordan till the end. Scheffler kind of dropped off. It's a pretty good
the
day
Mavericks
for the city
and the Stars
of Dallas.
Were the way more exciting things of all of that.
I don't know. It was pretty sold out at the Byron Nelson. They were going crazy for Jordan, local kid who everybody loves. I don't know. Seemed like a pretty good day for Dallas.
Not quite.
Don't
a
who this.
Quite a couple of game sevens.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. The game seven between the Mavericks and the Suns was really fun to watch. It was like a 29-point win that the Suns didn't even bother to show up for.
I thought it was more than
Sheesh.
That. I'm still blown
also,
away by
Also, both
how
of
that
those
happens.
were on the road, so the golf tournament was the only thing happening in Dallas. How about that?
Okay.
Yeah, that's
you can have that moment.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Did you see Albert Pujols pitching last night?
I did not. What?
Albert Pujols came in to pitch. It was a blowout.
Why?
It was 15 to something.
How was he?
Not great. And he gave up two home runs, but he got the last three outs.
Okay.
He said it was a dream come true.
Oh, good for Pujols. That's cool. I wish Gras was here to call him Pujols.
22 years. Hey, go pitch the ninth for us, kid.
That's pretty kid.
Yeah.
He's like,
get out there.
Years old.
I also feel like it's kind of embarrassing. Like, that's one of those things where it's funny for everybody except the guy at the plate. Like, you're just getting crushed, and you're like, all right, this is funny for you guys. We're just trying to get out of here. And then you
right.
go a yard off of him.
Well, you have to, because the other embarrassment is you strike out against against Pujols there.
Yeah. I saw somebody say, like, do you think his 38.6 ERA is going to hurt his Hall of Fame chances?
It may. What is the other thing I saw the other day? I don't know why this happened, but did Anthony Rendon turn around and bat left-handed and hit a home run in his only at bat ever left? Why did that happen? Why did he do that?
And it was another position player pitching.
Oh, okay.
Remember,
so
right?
Once that happened, he decided to turn around and bat lefty?
Yeah,
what a weird end to the game. I saw the news on it, but I never got to read the story. Why did he bat lefty?
I don't know.
All right, let's
Brett Phillips
up.
Was pitching.
Oh, okay. So Tampa had gone to a position player,
mm-hmm.
and so he's like, fine, if you're going to do that, I'm going to turn around and bat left, and he crushed a home run.
We had a kid in our school that used to do this, too. Like, when we were, like, blowing somebody out, our coach would be like, hey, pull out the wood bats. Like, let's not keep embarrassing
right.
them, which I thought was more embarrassing, that we were now going to, like, try to go down
bit.
A level.
Yeah.
And our catcher, this kid named Brady Turk, was just yoked. He's like Starling Marte.
Yeah.
Gets up and hits two home runs with a wood bat, and we're like, all right, this kid can't be beat.
All right, let's talk to Brock. We'll do that next, and we'll do some ranking to finish things up this morning. It is the Mike Salk Show here on Seattle Sports on 710, salesports.com.
Brock and Salk.
With my brains and your brawn, we'll make an excellent team.
Every morning at 7:45 and 9:30, presented by Top Fitness Store on the Mike Salk Show.
Brock Huard is my hero.
What Brock Huard says?
No, he's not a villain.
Subscribe to receive new episodes of the Brock and Salk podcast at Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts.
Well, good morning, Brock. Hello.
Good morning, Salk. This is going to be the final time from Birmingham.
Oh, that's too bad.
I know. Yeah, I know. You've left my USFL commentary each and every week, and the number of times I can drop it in a week. But yeah, this will be the final.
It's kind of a big deal.
Time from the Birmingham airport.
Yeah. What what'd you learn? I mean, besides Thunder Thighs, who I know you talked to this weekend, what'd you learn?
That is thick thighs save lives. Okay, I learned that from Darius Victor, running back. I learned there's a 330-pound defensive tackle that should be signed by the Seahawks, because I've never seen the 330-pound man, his name is Toby Johnson, do a backflip, and it was pretty close. I mean, he got all the way around. He had to use his hands, but it was remarkable. I learned that there's still absolutely a place for a developmental football league like this. They don't call it a developmental league, but as far as guys, especially at the QB position and skill position, getting opportunities, getting reps. I learned that these guys love football, you know, from 23-year-olds just out of college to 30-somethings that have had their taste of the NFL and want to just continue to play. So I had a blast, man. Absolutely. Loved covering it. And yeah.
Sorry. No, I was going to say, what do you think the margin is of difference between some of the guys in that league and some of the guys, you know, not at the top of the NFL roster, but the middle to back of the NFL roster?
The back end, very little. The back end, very little. In a lot of these guys, there's 32 players or 38 players on active, 45 per team. So there's 360 players in this league. And I would say half of them have been, well, more than half, three-fourths of them have been in NFL camps. They just, unfortunately, have been, you know, those guys cut between 60 and 90 in NFL camps. And then you've got another 10 to 20% that has started and played in the NFL, special teams or spot starts. These are guys that are right there on the fringe. Some of them just have made some mistakes off the field that have kept them out. Some of them have medical histories that have kept them out. Some of them, when they've gotten an opportunity, a little bit like I did in my career, did not capitalize on it and are out. So there's not a ton, Mike. You could take a ton of these players, put them in Seahawk camp, training camp, and they wouldn't look much different than players 60 through 90 that are going to get let go eventually.
Interesting. Well, I'm glad to hear it was a good experience. I was, as you know, on the couch much of the weekend. So
yeah, and you? How was your experience?
Well, it was fine. Thank you. I survived everything. We talked a little bit about it earlier. I would say... as you know, you've done it. It was first of all, you're a liar. This idea that it smells in any way, not true. There was no smell of anything at all. None. Zero. Dr. Snip kept it smell free. Thank you.
Wow. Good for him. You must be a little more advanced tools than the doctor that I had a number of years ago, because I wasn't exaggerating.
Well,
absolutely. Neither was a text toy. So the cauterizing they must do with a little better development.
They must, yes. There was no smell whatsoever. No real pain, definitely an uncomfortable feeling over the course of the, I don't know, half hour to hour that I was in there. But other than, true story, just an level of anxiety that caused me to shake, like my entire body, full on shakes, right? While I was there being held, et cetera. But survived, took it easy this weekend, no real pain or discomfort now. So can't lift anything. You know what it led to, actually, I will tell you. For the first time in my life, I went food shopping yesterday.
Uh-huh.
I had to ask for help out with the bags. Because I didn't want to, like, they were real heavy bags, and I wasn't supposed to lift anything heavy, put it into the car.
Oh,
I'm by myself,
I
legitimately had to ask. I felt like an old feeble man with a cane. I'm like, could you help me out to my car with the bags? Uh-huh. I've recently had surgery. It was.
Did you let them know you had a vasectomy as well?
No, you know, I didn't feel the need to explain the surgery to the person who was bagging groceries. But it was a very uncomfortable.
Well, it turned out to be a pretty good weekend. This weekend is not one of the top vasectomy weekends in the calendar year. That's usually the Masters or March Madness. But it worked appropriately for you. You got to watch Mariners win their first road series.
Yep.
You got to see Spieth battle it out to the very end. So if there was a weekend to overcome the shakes and just chill, this was probably a pretty solid one to do so.
It was. I will say that as much as I was supposed to be taking it easy, it was hard to sit on the couch and not react when Julio hit that missile yesterday. That ball was torched. And I know Cal Raleigh's may have been longer and it was higher and had the right launch angle. And good for him, man. Nobody needed it more than Cal. But Julio, my Lord, did he hit that ball hard.
You know who I was thinking about in the conversation, actually, as I was thinking about this weekend, watching some of that, was you yelling at me. I have a few of these just, not necessarily visceral, but some of these memories that have just been painted in and will never leave me. And I remember being in Connecticut doing some college football shows, and we were talking about Jesus Montero, and you got so mad at me because I was like, dude, I don't think I've ever seen less of an athlete. like watching him run was like watching Boy Howdy run. And I'm like, this guy, I don't get it. I don't see it. And you got so mad at me, appropriately so, because you don't have to be a tremendous baseball or tremendous athlete to be a tremendous baseball player. There have been a lot of them. A lot of them that were frumpy and dumpy and everything else. But I just remember thinking, I don't know how this guy, just when you move like that and athletically like that, how that translates. And I was thinking about Julio. And obviously, Jared Kelnick's a great athlete, and he got sent down. And it's been a rough start for him. Julio is a tremendous – every time I watch him, Salk, he is just
a freak.
Tremendously gifted athlete.
Yeah, he always does something, right? There's all, no matter how he's doing it, he always does seems to do something to affect the game.
The amount of ground that he covers, the fluidity with which he runs, the ease with which he swings. I mean, there is just a – and again, this is an unfair comp, and he's not Ken Griffey Jr. yet, but it was the same thing about Griffey. It was the same reason that everyone that's in their 40s, like I am, when they go out and play wiffle ball, can still emulate the little wiggle from Ken Griffey Jr.'s swing, because we did it for 10 years, you know, from age 7 to 17 playing wiffle ball. Like, that was the swing. And I can imagine the number of kids that are going to have their bats painted and the kids that are going to emulate that swing with the high elbow and just try to be like, wow, this guy is – he's special, man. He is so athletically special. He's so physically gifted. And unlike some of his peers that have come up over the years as young phenoms, right now, man, he is in a rhythm and making it look pretty darn easy.
He is. I mean, already, honestly, over the last couple of weeks, one of the better players in baseball, just the way he's hit the ball and that, you know, include everything that he's done in the field, the arm, the bases, everything. What a special start to Julio Rodriguez's career. And I'm, you know, it didn't start, like, the very, very beginning wasn't perfect. It's amazing how quickly he's turned that around, put it all behind him, right? Cleared it and just moved forward.
And pretty cool to see a kid that kind of fits in line with what Griffey used to do and with what Felix used to do. And that was, when I get on the big stage and you're going to put me in the market in New York, right, and you're going to put me on the Eastern Seaboard in Boston, or you're going to put me in these places with all eyes on me, instead of shrinking, he loved it. He captivated that stage and certainly made a mark in New York with the Mariners leaving town winners, going, man, we're going to have to keep an eye on that Julio kid, because that was something special.
Brock, good stuff as always. Enjoy your flight back from lovely Birmingham. I'm told it's perfect this time of year, and we'll talk tomorrow.
Okay, see you, Salky.
All right, there you go. Every morning, 7:45 and 9:30, of course, with Brock Huard. Unsurprisingly, getting some grief here on the text machine. One person saying, oh, what did Salk walk around with a sandwich board sign all week saying I just had surgery? Like, no, it's not like I'm announcing it to people, but they told me not to lift anything.
I mean, he's literally on the radio.
We did at least 5 segments where we talked about it last week.
Well, Passon heard about it.
Your mom found out about it through our show.
True. Yeah. All right.
I was getting personal texts about it.
But I didn't
it.
Have an actual sandwich board sign.
Next time.
I definitely got some funny texts from people asking how, like, parts of my body were over the weekend, which made me laugh pretty good. And then you always get someone like this. You always get a hater who says, they weren't 35-pound bags, Mike, and it's a procedure, not a surgery. That's what my wife told me after also telling me that she birthed our 2 children and it was a lot worse in her opinion. Well, no kidding, it was worse.
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
But I had kidney stones. That, I think, is much more equivalent to the childbirth thing. And that's what people who I know who have done both, who have had kidney stones and given birth, said that they're pretty equivalent. That they're, I mean, the kidney stone thing is awful. This, not that bad, honestly. Like, for anybody who's like, oh, I've been thinking about doing it, but I'm worried about the pain or this or that, worried, it's a little uncomfortable, but it really was not that bad. Kidney stones, like, take me sweet death. It was like the kidney stones are awful.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely the worst experience, terrible, unbelievable pain that just doesn't go away.
What do you have to avoid? Like, how did you get it? Did they know?
No idea.
So they can't say, like, oh, stop eating
salt. No,
like,
they're like, you should drink more water and maybe have some lemon. But like they have no idea what to do about kidney stones.
They'll also put these leeches on you too.
Yeah, and like, that's sort of what it feels
smoke
like.
Smoke a carton of cigarettes, maybe that'll help.
Yeah, they're kind of like, one doctor told me to drink more IPAs. It's like, well, all right, I can try.
Hazies? Are we going fresh hops? Like, which one's fresh from the situation?
I like the Lush. That's pretty good. Yeah, they have basically no idea what causes the kidney stones. But once you get them, you're more likely to get them again. I've had them twice.
Oh.
Dear Lord, are they awful. Don't get those.
I've heard.
Tex, wait, Mike had surgery? This is the first I'm hearing of it. All right, that is enough out of all you guys. Sheesh, you know, try to live my life. Try to, you know, bring you guys into what I'm doing, and all I get is grief for it. Go figure.
360 also said, a sandwich board sign is far too heavy for him after his surgery. The grocery kid carried it for him and walked behind him.
Yeah, like the woman in Game of Thrones. Shame! Shame! She just... Yeah, ringing the bell. Same woman from whatchamacallit, Ted Lasso, right? She's the boss in Ted Lasso. She's the shame
she's
woman.
Awesome.
She is awesome. She's the best part of Ted Lasso by far.
What else has she been in?
Just Game of Thrones, as far as I know. I've never seen her in anything else.
Yeah, maybe she's really good.
She's awesome, yeah. All right, let's see. We got a couple of minutes before we do some ranking. Earlier today, I explained how 10 plus 6 equals 3. And essentially what I was doing was going through these over-under rankings for the Seahawks and for the Broncos. And ESPN.com, as of today, has the Broncos at 10-7 and the Seahawks at 6-11, right? And so if you were to look at though, if those records were to hold true, and then you were to kind of look at what they would have been if they had finished in the league with those records this year, they would have ended up with the 7th and 21st picks. Which is fine, right? Number 7 pick was Evan Neal this year. Number 21 pick was the kid out of Washington, the cornerback Trent McDuffie. And so, like, those are good picks. I don't know if that's, like, change your world great, right? But okay. What's more interesting to me is that on the draft value chart, if you combine the picks 7 and 11, or 7 and 21, rather, you basically could get to number 3. Right in between 2 and 3, but closer to 3.
Okay.
So, 3 quarterbacks in next year's draft, right? That's the idea. Well, if you need to get into the top 3, if you win 6 games and the Broncos win 10, there's a pretty good chance you've got the ammo you need to get up into the top 3. Now, that doesn't guarantee somebody's willing to trade with you, but you at least have the ammunition you would need to get into the top 3 to try to land one of those quarterbacks.
You're right.
Year.
And if your theory earlier is correct, if the Jags are that team,
right?
Well, you're probably not going to be picking a quarterback.
Exactly. So maybe you just need to be in the top 4, depending on what the case may be. And maybe you don't win 6 games. Maybe you win 5. Maybe the Broncos only win 9. I mean, like, those things are certainly possible as well. So as you dig into this season and you're thinking, look, they're not trying to throw games. They're not trying to tank or anything like that. But, you know, A, root hard against the Broncos, not just because it's fun and not just because you're bitter, but because the worst they do, you have a legitimate vested interest in getting a better pick both in the first and second rounds. And then, you know, if the Seahawks don't win a lot of games, okay, so be it. That's just going to improve your standing in the draft next year and your chances at landing one of these 3 kids, right? Stroud and Levis and Bryce Young. So three opportunities potentially. Now, I don't know whether any of those guys are still going to be viewed the same way by the end of the college football season, right? A lot can change between now and then. There's many a slip twixt a cup and a lip, they say.
Yes, and that's what they say.
And we'll see whether or not that is the case again this year. In the meantime, let's do some ranking.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwumfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is Ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Brought to you by Carter Volkswagen. Every morning at 9:45 on the Mike Salk Show.
That top 10 list. I'm not buying that.
Ranked.
All right, a lot of options for ranking today. It was on this day, I believe you said in 1960, that the laser was invented.
Yeah, the first laser was fired on this day.
Okay,
so it had been invented, but it was the first time it had been used. Was this.
And then the most powerful laser, I believe, was hit yesterday in Citi Field by... Sorry, I can't even finish the joke. Not worth it.
I wish we had the Kellenic laugh queued up, but we'll have to shelve that one until he's back?
Yeah, it's a AAA laugh right now.
That's a good point.
I would just like to say that we talked about sacrificing things to help the Mariners win last week.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah,
Mine was that I was going to enthusiastically participate in Ranked.
Yes. And they won. Look at
they
that.
They won a series against the best team
one of the best
teams in baseball.
Look what happens when you participate.
I can't because I don't like this one. Especially because you made stupid guidelines again.
I did not.
Yes, you did.
Today is also what, Sea Monkey
it's
Day?
It's National Sea Monkey Day, Maura. I'm surprised you didn't have that date circled on your calendar. It's right. A big one.
With that in mind, monkeys ranked. This is fairly simple. No gorilla.
It's not monkeys ranked. It's pretty much only, apparently, the ones we see on TV are called capuchins. Those are like the only ones salt allowed.
Those are capuchin monkeys. I'm just saying we're not allowing gorillas or bonobos or chimpanzees or orangutans because all of them are not monkeys.
They're in the monkey house when I go to the zoo.
They're in the ape house.
No.
Yes?
No.
Yeah. What do you mean no? They're apes. They're not monkeys.
Not my monkey, not my problem.
All right. Top monkeys ranked. Now, there's a lot of monkeys that didn't make the list. Justin loves to tell us about his time at the Funky Monkey here in Seattle.
104.9.
R.I.P.
Yes, R.I.P. Gone too soon.
You got the monkeys from The Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
You got the monkey in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Those aren't even real monkeys. Those are made up. They fly. But
so
they
what?
Count?
They're monkeys.
Oh, my God.
You got the monkeys from Caps for Sale. If you've ever read that as a kid, as a kid's book, They say tss, tss, tss.
I know that one.
Hurl the caps around. You got the monkey from Ed, right? I think that was a monkey, or was that? That might have been another kind of an ape. I might have to remove that one.
Monkey from was that an orangutan?
That might have been an orangutan, yeah.
Okay.
Michael Jackson had his monkey Bubbles.
Yeah.
And then Justin Bieber had a monkey to be like Michael Jackson.
He did.
That didn't go well.
Problem getting in or out of Canada. I remember that story.
All right. So those are some monkeys that didn't quite crack the list.
That's a lot of monkeys that still have room on here that I'm expecting to hear from.
All right. You ready?
Five.
Oh, let's see. Well, number five, Friends had a monkey that mysteriously just disappeared at some point. They stopped having the monkey on the show, but it was Marcel the monkey.
Monkey's got a Ross on his ass.
Is he gonna live with you, like, in your apartment?
Yeah. I mean, it's been kind of quiet since Carol left, so.
Why don't you just get a roommate?
I don't know. I think you reach a certain age, having a roommate is just kind of pathetic.
Yeah, that laugh track.
He said with the monkey on his head.
Thanks for the laugh track. So helpful.
Yeah. All right.
So Marcel's on the list, though.
Yeah,
it's impressive for a short-lived appearance.
Barely squeaks on.
Okay.
All right, number five was Marcel the monkey. Number four, Maura. Don't you know you're gonna shock the monkey? Shock the monkey. Peter Gabriel. And I believe there was a whole Wayne's World bit about how it's Jacques the monkey.
Yep.
Right? Wasn't that a Wayne's World bit? Like, did a few other, like, misheard lyrics?
I'm just thinking of the other songs that have monkeys in it. We have the Beastie Boys.
That oh,
funky
brass
monkey. Yep.
Brass monkey. That's true. We didn't think of that. Should have.
It's a good monkey. Brass monkey's a pretty good monkey.
Yeah, and a classic song. Absolutely. Yeah. Brass monkey. That funky monkey.
Songs are allowed on the list?
Well, songs about monkeys, not just random songs.
Not orangutans.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Not about, like, there's a new song in the new Chili Peppers album called The Great Apes. I wouldn't put that on there because that's about wanting the great apes to be free.
Also,
see now you're getting
the 425 confirmed what I was thinking. Marcel didn't just disappear; he went to live at the zoo.
Oh, okay, good. Phew.
They had to part ways.
That's good.
Couldn't live in a residential apartment.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Like I didn't put Bonobos the clothing line. That didn't make it on the list because that's not a monkey. That's more of closer to
a chimp. I don't even know what that is.
Bonobos. It's like a clothing line. Never seen them?
No.
There's like a they're an online clothing store.
I know what it is.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you what they make besides.
They make shirts and pants.
It's not like a soccer brand or something,
no.
Right?
They make just like clothes for men.
Bonobos.
Yeah, bonobos. All right, number three on this list, also very famous monkeys.
Hey, we're the monkeys.
The monkeys.
And people say we're monkeying around. We're too busy singing to put everybody down.
One of these
so which makes me feel older, that or not knowing Reddit?
I think you look for any excuse possible to play a monkey song because there's been probably four or five ranks that somehow we've gotten a monkey. The monkeys involved.
Davy Jones, Mike Nesmith, Peter Tork, and Mickey Dolenz. Got it. Last time I couldn't remember all four.
Good job.
Thanks. My dad will be proud.
I'm happy for you.
Thank you. See, still got it up here. Getting older.
Do you remember the SNL sketch, Sprockets?
Yes, of course.
There was the monkey in that, too.
Remember the monkey in Sprockets?
There's a monkey in Sprockets.
Huh. All right, I don't remember that. All right, number two on this list will go, you know, closer to newer school. It's still pretty old, but Abu from Aladdin. Kind of hard to understand, I gotta say.
No subtitles.
Abu might have been number one if you could understand him a little bit better, but I mean, you know, hardly understand what the guy's saying.
Looking at some more lists here of ones that we might have missed, but I feel pretty solid about this. I'm sorry Maura just doesn't. She doesn't want to wrap herself into a winning culture of the Mariners that she said she was going to be so into last week.
Well, some people are ate a banana pop tart right off the bat. Yeah, but so I'm not now. I at least waited till they won a series.
Boots the monkey from Dora the Explorer. That's a good monkey. Didn't think of that one.
Did you guys don't put Rally Monkey on here?
No, hate the Rally Monkey. Don't make my list. Stupid Rally Monkey with those stupid thunder sticks.
The sock monkey?
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, I really hate the Rally Monkey. A lot. I think it's so stupid. Well, number one, I would hope would be very obvious to anybody. One of the all-time great monkeys. If you were a kid and didn't love books about this monkey, I don't want to know you, man. Curious.
You never know what's around me. Big adventure, all brand new friend. When you're curious, I like curious.
This is, yeah, I remember the song.
I don't know. Where'd you find this?
Is this like a...
I don't know.
A swing band version?
Yeah. It's like a New Orleans jazz monkey song. When you open your and meet friends like this, just can't fit. Is that sung by the man in the yellow hat?
That's like the Brian Setzer orchestra version. I remember this being like, Curious George, the curious little monkey. Oh, you guys got me to sing. No!
Oh!
Yes!
No. It happened.
Wow.
You know, why is he curious? Let's go and see. That wasn't it.
I don't know what Curious George theme that was. It was just Curious George theme.
Monkey's got a Ross on his head.
Oh, I want that one. Sorry. I was hoping to play this again. Good monkey. Good monkey songs. I can't believe we missed Brass Monkey, though. That's terrible.
Yeah, no, Brass Monkey. We'll miss opportunity. We can do another. We can do a revised. We'll probably do this again.
We can rank apes next time.
Okay. Well, see, that'd be a fun list. Donkey Kong would probably make that list.
Right, you have Amy from Congo.
King Kong. Right. I mean, totally different list.
Planet
once you start
of the
bringing
apes.
In all of the apes. Curious George, see whether he makes it onto the list once you add in the other apes.
Mighty Joe Young. Dunson checks in.
Totally different list of apes.
You're right,
Maura.
We could do that tomorrow, though.
Yeah. All right. Tomorrow, we rank apes.
I think you just did.
Right now, we'll get out of the way and let Jake and Stacy take over. Joe Fan will be on tomorrow. We got a good quarterback discussion. Maura raises a really good point, legitimately, with Drew Locke that we're going to discuss tomorrow, and a comp that should make you at least interested in the way this season goes. Tell you who that is. We'll see you guys tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Goodbye.